This man always played above the rim.
Always.
Kevin Stallings, Vanderbilt head basketball coach, joins us. What's going on this morning?
Not a lot.
What time are you teeing off?
I'm not teeing off, Frank. I've kind of given up golf the last few years. Other things have sort of taken over my free time life, like baseball and some things like that.
Your son's having a good year for North Carolina, right?
He's doing okay. He's doing all right. I wouldn't classify it as good yet. He's done okay when he's gotten to play.
Spoken like a true coach.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Hopefully he'll continue to get better and enjoy his experience.
Kevin, are you a little surprised that you're not playing basketball this week?
Yes, surprised and disappointed. I thought we would still be playing and we're not. So,
well, is there anyone give you a reason for that? Or any, to me, it was if you would have won a couple games in the East or the SEC tournament that you were going to get consideration to get into big tournament. And then all of a sudden, I mean, how does that work out? I just don't understand. Are you told something why things are?
A phone message was left to me to explain why we didn't get in the NIT, that I could call back and would be given an explanation, but I didn't care to hear the reason, so I didn't call back. And I was surprised, and I'm not complaining. It is what it is. But I was surprised because I did not feel like there was a great deal of difference between us and Kentucky, and Kentucky was seated higher than half the field in the NIT, and but again, it is what it is. We didn't do enough to get asked to keep playing, so we'll hopefully use this as motivation, remember what this felt like, and do a better job next year.
More than anything, Kevin, I think maybe your disappointment lies in the fact that you have so many young players just to get a chance to get in that tournament realm and to get in those situations and gain that experience. It's almost like a quasi spring practice, I guess, for football, but just to get that extra time in there for the cohesion and in those pressure spots. Is that what you're more disappointed in than anything?
Yeah, I think so, Frank. I think that to have been able to put my team in a tournament atmosphere to where you felt some of that tournament pressure and all of that, I thought that could be very valuable as we headed into next season. And again, hopefully, next season where we would be dealing with the NCAA tournament but it wasn't to be. But that was the part. It wasn't so much the reward for what they had accomplished. And I thought, the second half of the SEC season, I thought our guys really did a nice job, and to start out 1-5 and to come back and get it evened up at 8-8 and I thought was a nice thing for our team and a nice thing for our young guys to be able to do. So to have sort of been rewarded for that and been able to get into that tournament experience and atmosphere would have been a real nice thing, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
Speaking of Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings, Kevin, I said it yesterday and feel free to disagree. I know you will if you think so, but I felt your team had at least an excuse, your program, to maybe play the out-of-conference schedule that you did, which I thought was, especially when you have a freshman-laden team. But do you think the committee sent the SEC a message about the way a lot of the teams scheduled outside the conference, the reason for the low RPI and everything that went with it?
Well, Mark, I think that if they're trying to send a message, that's fine. You know, the truth is that the SEC has never in the history of the league had a team win 10 games in league play and not get in the big tournament. So what that says is that for all of these years, we've been able to compete. If you could have success in our league, no matter what happened outside the league, you were still getting in the tournament. Well, it just happened this year that we had a lot of teams that were below what they normally are, you know, whether it's a Kentucky or it's a Florida or, you know, even an Arkansas or whatever. Traditionally, teams that have been, you know, at the top of the league and been very good basketball programs weren't as good. And now we had some other teams that were good. LSU was good, and South Carolina had a good year, and, you know, Tennessee had a good year on down the line. But anyway, my point is this. They can send us that message. If this was a typical year in the SEC and South Carolina had won 10 games and Auburn had won 10 games, we'd have five teams in that tournament. But this was not a typical year in our league, and it just happened to be that we had a larger number of schools have subpar years for what we're normally accustomed to. So I think if, as coaches, if we project next year that our league is going to be down again, which I don't think that we do, then I think you change, you know, I think everybody's going to have to change their scheduling philosophy a little bit. But I still think that, I mean, look at Tennessee. Tennessee's a perfect example. They scheduled like crazy. I mean, Gonzaga twice and Georgetown and Memphis and Kansas. And I mean, and what did it get them?
They got an
8 or a 9 seed?
Yeah, they got a 9.
Yeah, they got a 9 seed, and they won the Eastern Division. So I don't the committee can say, hey, go schedule up, and you know what? We will schedule up next year because I think that suits our team. I didn't think that it suited our team this year. And here's the other thing about scheduling, and this is the thing that I have the biggest complaint with the committee, because they think that you can just schedule who you want to schedule in your non-conference games, and that's not true. Now, you can schedule who you want to schedule if you're North Carolina or if you're Duke, but if you're Vanderbilt and people have the tendency to look at our program and say, there's a team that's better than their name, they're not very excited about scheduling you. And let alone if you're at Illinois State and you've built up a good program like we had there for a few years, you couldn't get anybody to play you.
Especially not at home.
But exactly. But the committee thinks, well, you know, you get to choose who you schedule in your knockout. That's not true. There are more lies that are told in scheduling than there are in recruiting. and that is significant. And scheduling is a very, very difficult thing unless you're a school that's going to get every game on national television and that sort of thing. I mean, Kentucky, yeah, they can schedule whomever they want. But that's not the way it is for the overwhelming majority of the people in college basketball. And I find that a little bit offensive that – now, again – even if we had been close, our schedule did not warrant. We did not have a schedule that was, you know. But again, that's a little bit of luck, because we do a 4-year series with Georgia Tech. This year was the last year of it, and we did that with them shortly after they went to the Final Four. Well, how do we know that in 4 years that, you know, Georgia Tech's not going to have the kind of season they had this year? I guess is a better way to put it. And not only that, but we lost. but you understand what I'm saying? It's a little bit of a moving target. You know, we schedule a 2-year deal with UMass because we think they're getting ready to be good for a couple of years, and they were very good a year ago, but they weren't as good this year. So how do you, you know, it's a little bit of a moving deal, and so that part frustrates me a little bit because they get up and but you know what, and while we're on it, and I'm not, I mean, obviously we did deserve no consideration for the NCAA tournament this year, so I feel like I can say these things and not sound like they're sour grapes. One year you hear them talk about, well, how a team finished. Then another year you talk about, well, who did you beat? Then another year you hear them talk about your strength of schedule. Depending upon the committee, you hear kind of a different song every year, as far as I'm concerned, as to what is important to them relative to your qualifications. And I just think that when you get down to those last couple of at-large teams, it just seems to be a little bit of a moving target to me, and that part is a little frustrating. I wish they could take some of that ambiguity out and tell us all, say, listen, when it gets down to these last couple of teams, it's going to be about how you schedule, or it's going to be about who you beat, or you know what I'm saying? It just would be a little better, I think, if that message was a little bit more consistent.
Kevin, as we wrap up here, one of the teams you did play in the pre-conference was Illinois, and most folks know you're good friends of Bruce Weber. Do you think people are overlooking them a little bit as they kind of jump on the upset bandwagon with Western Kentucky?
I think Illinois is an easy team to pick against because there are nights when they look like they struggle to score, and Chester Frazier, obviously, with his hand situation, and he's kind of the backbone of that team in terms of their defensive toughness, but yeah, I think they're overlooking them a little bit because I think Bruce is one of the premier coaches in college basketball, and he's not a guy that self-promotes, and he's not a guy that stands out there and grandstands for everybody and tells everybody how great he is. I think he's one of the real underrated and underappreciated guys in our business, so I would say that you're exactly right, Kevin. I think they're probably being overlooked a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them advance.
Go ahead, Kev.
I was just going to say, your high school career in Collinsville got some big play on the game the other night when you guys were playing Alabama.
Well, I didn't know that, and that must have been a true indication of how poorly we were playing.
I think it was Joe Dean Jr. talking about recruiting you.
Yeah, they were talking about
it. Actually, he did. He came to my high school and recruited me when he was an assistant at Kentucky. That's true. I wasn't good enough to play there, obviously.
Kevin, listen, thanks so much for coming on this year.
Yes.
Appreciate the candor, and great things are ahead for your program. I think we all agree, and hit them straight.
Well, thank you, Mark, and I'm going to say one other thing, and I normally don't say things like this, but I think Tennessee's going to win. I think LSU's going to win. I think Mississippi State's going to win. I think that in a week or two, people are going to be saying, wait a second, maybe the SEC wasn't quite as bad as we all thought. But anyway, that's my bold NCAA tournament prediction. You guys, thank you for being nice to me and having me on, and we'll look forward to doing it again next year.